You know, we know that we serve an eternal God, and He has an eternal plan for you and me. We serve a God who is eternal. And hence, we know the things of the earth are temporary, but there's some things that are eternal. Amen? Tonight we're going to go into the Word. Let's go over to, we're going to start at John 3:16. We're going to start over there, and then we're going to walk to 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to walk to 1 Thessalonians 4. All right, let's get ready to read John 3:16. Most of us could actually quote that from our memory, or we would say our head. But it's actually our memory, right? All right, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," what's going to happen? Should not perish. But what are they going to have? Everlasting life. That means life without end. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight. And we give You the praise. We give You the glory. We give You the honor. We worship You tonight. How excellent is Your name. How wonderful is Your name. How precious is Your name. And God, how precious are Your people. How precious are the saints. My God, we thank You for Your children. Thank You for those that You have saved. My God, those that have encountered You and those that are standing here in this house and those that are online, God, we gather to hear from You. And I pray, Holy Spirit, You will speak to us. I pray, God, You will implant Your word in us. Oh, let it find root and let it grow and let it maximize in our spirit and bring revelation and understanding, because the truths that are from You, they are eternal. So now we go for it and we pray You'll give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. So, when we evangelize and we go and we tell people about Jesus, we are seeking to correct their eternal destination. We are seeking to correct, because without Christ, you are on a road to eternal destruction and eternal damnation. But when we tell people about Jesus, or we share the love of God, we are seeking to fix their eternity. Now, in the process of them moving from this life to eternity, we want them to have an abundant life. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it how? More abundantly." So abundant life is for now. Abundant life, the God life, the Zoe life, is for now. It is not for heaven. Heaven, the life we will live there, is the eternal life. And is life in eternity with God. Amen? So imagine you go out to talk about the gospel, or someone confronts you and say, "What about this eternal life? What about this eternal life? How this eternal thing works?" I spoke to a woman today and I said, what's going to happen when you die? She says, "I'll become ashes." She said, "I'll just become ashes." Because what? She does not understand. Now, the Bible says the carnal man does not understand the things of the spirit. Right? And they often take the eternal things lightly. You know, I told her, I said, you know why you're not too worried? It's because you cannot see what is coming. You cannot see what is coming. And the Bible says the enemy does a good work of blinding us. Remember when the Apostle Paul got saved? What fell off his eyes? Scales. He said it was as scales that fell off of his eyes. So the enemy puts a veil. Puts a veil over the eyes of people. And that's his work. And he is doing his work. But I want to tell you, God has anointed you and me to take off those scales. I'll say that again. God has anointed his church to take off those scales. Because he has put within you. He has put within you a ministry. And that is the ministry of reconciliation. That you and I now can go out. And we are now able to speak to people. And Paul says, I have believed, so I speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe, so I speak. I believe, so I speak. I want to tell you, it's time for believers to become vocal. Become vocal. I am not ashamed. Now, if you have a family, most people are very proud of their family. When you talk to them about their kids, quick time they pull out their phone and they're like, oh, these are my kids. Or most people are very vocal about their spouse, their wives. And they, oh, this is my wife. Or this is my husband. Isn't that true? Yeah. Right? So we have to become bold about the things of the kingdom. And we cannot be afraid to talk about eternity. We cannot be afraid to talk about eternity. Because eternity is more real than what we see. Amen. Eternity existed before what we see. Are you tracking? Yeah. In the beginning, right? Who created? God created what? The heavens and but that is not eternity. That is what we see and what we experience. But beyond that is eternity. The heavens and the earth were created and are locked and are timed. There is a span of time for the earth to exist. Because what the Bible says, the same heaven and earth that was made, it says heaven and earth shall pass away. So they were created, they are timed, and then they will pass away. But God and what God, the place that God has created for you and I in eternity will remain forever. Amen? Amen? Because, hallelujah, this is just too good. Everything will pass, but the word of God will remain. Amen. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen? All right, let's go to the word. So, John 3:16, whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but what they're going to have? Everlasting or eternal life. Now, where are they going to live eternally? Now, that's the question. That is the question. Where will you spend eternity? But tonight, I'm not going to talk to you so much about the sinner, but I'm going to talk to you more about where we will spend eternity. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Uh, And we're going to read from chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 14. Let's go to 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, okay, we have the what? Same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord will also what? Raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, we want to hit it here now, 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man or the spirit man, right? Outward man is aging. And is slowly making its exit out of the world. On Sunday when I went home, I turned on my phone and I saw Jimmy Swaggart's son in a very somber mode. So I want to know what's going on. Come to find out, evangelist had a heart, he went into cardiac arrest. Right? He's 90 years old. He's lived a long time. He's preached many messages. He's sung amazing songs, right? But guess what? The body is timed. And the body is aging. Young people can get cardiac arrest too. So it's not a matter of aging. But what I'm saying now, as a result of maybe aging or so, the body is getting older. And we're hoping that he makes a good return. And I heard his son said something. His son said, he desires that his dad can come back and tell us what he saw on the other side. That God can raise him up from the sickbed. Because a lot of times when you go into cardiac arrest, sometimes you actually die. Because it's gone, flatline. And then they got to work on the body to find a pulse and bring you back. So in those moments, transitory moments, you can have a glimpse of heaven and glory. So he's saying, I wish that dad can just come back and tell us a little bit about what he saw on the other side. Because we all want to know about heaven. And we all want, now we believe in heaven. But when people have out-of-body encounters in heaven, we're all excited. Now, some people have some crazy, weird stories floating around out there that is quite extra-biblical. Anybody know? Anybody ever heard? Yeah? And some people get famous on telling these stories. And then when they do find out, they've been lying. So we got to be careful not to also have itching ears. Right? Good. So, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. So it doesn't matter what you and I go through, our spirit man is getting stronger. Amen. Our spirit man is growing. Our spirit man is advancing. No matter what the fiery dart that the enemy throws to us in this physical life, We must keep our mind on eternity. We must keep our mind on it. No matter how much of a good life we live here, it cannot compare to what shall be revealed in us in heaven. When we switch bodies, we're going to get to that. For our light, oh, look at this. Now, hallelujah. For our light affliction, which is but for a what? Moment. What kind of affliction? It doesn't matter if you have debt, it's light. It doesn't matter if you're sick, it's light. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're oppressed, it is light. Even if, now, this is Paul, the one that is getting whooped, beaten, dragged out the cities, left naked, is saying this is light affliction. This is to help us to put our afflictions in appropriate perspective. Have a proper perspective of whatever you're going through. That it is light compared to what Christ went through for us. It is light. As a believer, we cannot be so cast down by what we're going through. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but the word says it is light. Are you with me? It is light. And God wants us to see it as light. Because if we think it is so great and we empower it, it will overtake us. When we're going through something, we should keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the real heavyweight in the situation. Amen? Now, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working. It is doing what?
Working.
For who?
For us.
Working for us. God is using it to build us. So, whenever you go through, let the lessons that you learn, use it as a learning experience. Amen? Working for us a far more exceeding, now watch here now, and what? Eternal weight of glory, or eternal weight of the power of God. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Now, here we go now. We're starting to go eternal now. Right? We're switching off from what we can see. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. How is that possible? How does a physical man see what is not seen? How is that possible? Paul, the writer, the word says to us, we do not look at what is seen. Even though you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Why? Because the unseen is with you. The unseen is with you. I am with you. God is with you. So now your eyes, because it says, unless a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom. Meaning that when you come, get born again, there are things to see. Meaning your spiritual eye becomes open. The moment you get born again, your spiritual eyes open to a reality that exists beyond what you see, what you have known, what you have come to call common. There is something greater than that. And that is us. Your spirit man comes alive, and your spiritual eyes become open. So now you do not only look to what is seen, but you can look to what is unseen, which are the things that are eternal, like love, joy, peace, hope. Are you with me? You look to the higher things. Amen? Now, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
Are what? Eternal. And tonight we're going to talk about eternal life. Now, when someone dies, that's when they really begin living. That's when true life begins. Because the body switches from mortal to immortal. And things that are immortal cannot die. Cannot die. You are not mortal. You are immortal now. Now, you already have that life working in you. You have eternal life the moment you accept Jesus. But then your body state changes from mortal to immortal. Now you're saying, Pastor, when I die, I'm going to look just like how I look. Yeah. How do we know this? Remember Lazarus and the rich man? They were both dead. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Were they dead?
Yes.
Yes, they were. One was in hell, a place of torment. Well, at that point, it wasn't really hell. They were in Sheol. They were in Sheol, the holding place of the dead. There was two sides of Sheol. There was a good side, which was Abraham's bosom, and there was a side of torment, which represents hell. But it was still the holding place of the dead. So the rich man, the Bible says he looked up. What he did? So that means that holding part was below. And we know heaven is above and hell is below, right? And the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. All things that are on the earth, beneath the earth, and those that are in heaven. So the three levels again, right? So he looked up and who did he see? He saw Lazarus. Did he recognize Lazarus? Yes. So did Lazarus still look like Lazarus? Yes. Did the rich man still look like the rich man? Yes. Right? So the rich man didn't just change and become a different rich man. No, it was the same person. Are you with me? Now, the body that he had might have been different. Because it was a spiritual or an immortal body that he now had. Lazarus didn't have no sore. There was no dogs over there licking anything. He was in a whole state. He was in a blessed state. He was in a comforted state. Because remember the Bible says, when you were on the earth, how did you eat? Sumptuously. Right? How did you feast? You were well fed. But now, Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented. So, in eternity, there is going to be comfort, joy, peace, love, life, happiness, but there's also going to be torment. There's going to be torment. And the Bible says, entering through the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. In the book of Matthew, I believe that's Matthew chapter 7. Let me give you that scripture. Matthew 7:13 and John 10:9. Read those later. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that find it. Amen? Now, let's continue. Are we tracking tonight? Let's go over to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house or our earthly body, the word calls this body that we love and we want to keep slim and we shower and we spray cologne on and we want to smell good and we wear nice clothes and we comb the hair. It's just a house. Who knows that houses are temporary?
Yes.
Houses are temporary. Hurricane come, your house gone. Tornado come, nice, beautiful house, you know, gone. Fire comes, house gone. So it says, this tent is what? This house is destroyed. What do we have? We have a building from who? God. So Paul was talking about the persecution earlier, but now he's talking about our body. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Where? Eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from where? Heaven. He's saying, man, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to going to heaven. We're looking forward to be clothed in that body. But currently, we are not. And we are affected by the elements around us. If it's cold, you feel cold. Isn't that true? If it's hot, you feel hot. If you're going to put your hand where fire is, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. Unless God keeps you, right? If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found how? Naked. For we who are in distant groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed or to come out, but further clothed, that mortality, what's going to happen? May be swallowed up by life. He's talking about eternal life. The eternal state. When you die, you don't just go roaming. You don't just disintegrate. You don't just die and become dust. You don't just get eaten by bugs. No, you put on life. You put on an eternal state, an eternal body. You get to the building that God has for you. Did you see that there?
Yes.
This house will put away this, but it's going to take on the building from God, or the body that Christ has prepared for you and for me. Amen? So if this one fail, do not fear. If this does, you know, we have to live with eternity in mind. We have to live with a better expectation. With a more glorious expectation. You know, they have this little song, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Yeah, we have to have that hope. That one day when we leave, I want us to experience all that God has for us to do here. Do great here. But guess what? Even if we live 120 years here, which is the promise of God, 120 years, not 70. Not 70. We're supposed to live 120. Because after the flood, that was what was allotted to man. Right? So, we don't want 70. We want 120. But after the 120, we're going to have an eternal body. Now, and then, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you live so long, you have long life. Then you're going to realize, oh, man, that was nothing. Because 1,000 years is what with God? That's a day. So that means you and I, are only, if we live 100 years, we're only living a tenth of a day. So that's why I always say eternity is much greater than what we are currently experiencing. All right? Good. Let's continue. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is who? God. So who has prepared the body for us? God the Father who redeemed us. Jesus. But whose plan was it? God the Father. What manner of love has the Father had that he what? He gave Jesus to be a ransom for you and me. For while we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus to what? Die for us. Oh, what manners of the Father bestowed upon us that we might be called his children. So now, who's preparing this body? Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So he's saying, on the journey to immortality, enjoy my presence. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is like the cocktail hour we're having. You know when you go to a nice wedding, the first hour is just a cocktail. Where you have the little hand picky foodie, you know, you walk around, you talky-talky, smiley-smiley, laughy-laughy. But there is a marriage that's coming. And it's called a marriage supper of the Lamb. Where you and I, we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride. And we're getting ready for our marriage feast. And it's in eternity. So us having the Holy Spirit is to get us familiar with the presence of God. So that when we go to heaven now, it is not a strange place. It's home, sweet home. And it is our guarantee, meaning our assurance. Because how do we know that we are the child of God? The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Find that scripture and put it up. Amen? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons or the children of God. Verse 6. So we are always confident. Now look at this now. By us having the Holy Spirit, we have a guarantee. Meaning, let's say you buy a product and you have a guarantee. So I bought a mic stand from Amazon. And my mic stand broke. I bought it in January. By May, it broke. So guess what I did? I reached out to Amazon. Amazon then sends me back to the manufacturer. And they said there's a one-year guarantee. So I contact the manufacturer. Said, blah, 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 blah. Your stand broke. Or my stand broke because I bought it, right? My mic stand broke within, I just got it. They said, oh, no problem. We will refund you the money for the purchase, because it was supposed to last much longer. They guarantee it for up to a year, so that means it should last a year, right? What did they do? They guaranteed their product. The same way the Holy Spirit is our guarantee.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. So we are always confident now.
Amen.
When you have guarantee, you're walking with confidence. Are you saved? Yeah. Are you going to heaven?
Yes.
Yeah. How you know? I got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So now I'm what? Not cocky, but I'm confident.
Amen.
Hello? Hello? I am confident. I can talk about heaven because I know I'm going to heaven. Some people may not know. That's okay. I say, yeah, a piece of pie. I ain't eating that. But the pie that I'm eating is I am confident. I'm eating confidence pie. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. What am I confident about? Knowing that while we are home in the body, we are what? Absent from the Lord. Meaning, we are in this physical body. We are constrained to this body. We are not in our immortal state yet.
No.
We do not have our immortal bodies. We're going to see that in a little while. For we walk. Now, whilst you are in this body, what are you going to do? We are in the body. Now, there is something for us to do. And all of us know this scripture. And look what it says, verse 7. Now let's read from 6 and we'll flow right in. So we are always confident knowing while we are in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And what it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because we are looking at things that are eternal, the things that are unseen, the reality that exists beyond the world that we see. So now we're not walking by only what we see, feel, hear, think, can touch rather, but we walk by faith, knowing that our eternity is sure. Knowing that our home that God has built for us, God has prepared a body for you and I in eternity. He says we are going to get that at some point. And we walk with confidence in God, total trust and dependence on the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident. Oh my God. So verse 6 says, so we're always confident, right? And here verse 8 comes back again and it says, we are confident. We are confident. We have to become confident about eternity. We have to be confident about our eternal destination. We're just pilgrims in this land. We're passing through. And no matter how much some of us, you get saved, you live 2 years, you die, you get your eternal body. Or if you live 70 years as a child of God, you get your eternal body. Amen? Amen? For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body, what happens? Present. And to be what? Present. To be present with the Lord. So the moment we transition out of the earth, where are we present? With the Lord. There is no more lingering, wandering. We transition from the body into the presence of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4 again. This Bible don't have Thessalonians tonight. 4, right? Verse 13. 4:13. But I do not want you to be what? Ignorant, brethren. Or I do not want you to be in the dark. I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, us learning about eternity can make our witness more effective. Amen? Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, we do not come to you with excellence of speech, but we come to you by the power and manifestation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse 12, we do not come with our own words, but we come with humility, simplicity, and we come with the word of God. When you go to share your faith or talk to someone about Jesus, don't depend upon your own intellect. Do not depend on your own intellect. Learn the word of God. Because man can try to argue against his body, argument will fail. Their argument will fail. Because there is something about the word of God. And what we know about the word of God is alive. It is quick. Meaning it can quickly correct a man. It can quickly shut down arguments. So use the word of God. Hinge your life. Swing on the word. That's what that means. Let the word hold you up. All right? But I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, we just spoke about when we die, what happens? We are present with the Lord. Here it says, Paul is talking to them, to the church of Thessalonica, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have went on to be with the Lord. Lest you sorrow as others who have what? No hope. He says, if you don't know, you're going to cry your eyes out. And you're never going to be comforted. You're never going to be comforted. You know why Christians don't go visiting graves all the time? Because we know the people are not there. Some people, every Father's Day, they're at the grave. Every Mother's Day, they're at the grave. Every time they're at the grave, 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 grave. Weekends and I come into church. Where were you? I went to my mother's grave. I went to see mommy. You went to see mommy, you went to see a tomb. Come, mommy, and see you. Maybe if she's with the Lord, she's going to see you. Because yeah, if we don't know, you don't want mommy and say you. If mommy say good morning, you're gonna see run. You never go back to see mommy again. You go in and you talk. If mommy only talk to you, every man up and out. Oh my God. So we cannot carry on as a people without hope. But if we are ignorant, we will carry on like that. Now, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, we have to correct even our vocabulary. Christians can die. Now, on you might get a death certificate, but pastor, that is from the system of this world. Because they don't want to pay you Social Security anymore. So they want to make sure that you are dead. Dead man tells no tales, nor collect payments. As we heard, some people are 114 years and still collecting Social Security. You know, in many elections, dead people vote. That's when the dead comes to life, election time. Everybody believes in eternal life at election time. These things are real. That's why I want you guys to embrace them and laugh about it. Elections make people get separated. You know that? Yeah. Elections separate people, and that's a wicked thing. Very wicked. Very wicked. People are killing each other because of elections. What a wicked spirit. And as a church, we can't let that be a part of us. Or else we're ignorant. Of the And the Bible says we are not ignorant about the devices of the devil. Imagine God tell you when you go to heaven, I know you're not because of the way you treat people election time. You stop talking to your sister because you never forgive that person because you heard them vote for somebody you didn't vote for. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we got to be wise, church. Wise. So I will not have you to be ignorant, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, now this is key. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, the same thing is going to happen to us. He says, even so, God will what? Bring. Remember Adam, Lazarus? Lazarus was brought. The Bible says the rich man was buried. But when Lazarus died, that what? He was taken into Abraham's bosom. He didn't get no funeral. The same way you and I, God's system, who knows, maybe it's angels, or maybe it's God himself, that will bring us, amen, escort us into his presence. Amen. So many times when the saints die, you hear people say, they heard that people were in the room. They felt a wind come through the room. Because what? They are being carried with God. Amen? Now, who's going to bring them? Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So when we transition out of this life, we go to sleep. And we wake up in eternity. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Meaning, you're not going to beat them. Meaning, you're not going to get your get into the presence of God before them. They're already there. All right? For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. When Jesus comes, everybody's going to know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Everybody. They said there will be a shout. The Lord is coming with a shout. Why you think the devil don't want you to shout? Because he knows when you shout, things happen. When you open your mouth and you shout, things happen. It's time for us to shout consistently. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout hallelujah. Shout praise the Lord. Shout glory.
Hallelujah.
When the Lord will come, he will come with a shout. Because the shout of God arrests his enemies. The shout of God caused the enemies to stall and get disarmed. Jesus is coming with a shout. My God. And with the voice of an archangel. Oh, God, imagine. I wonder what that sound like. What does Michael sound like? What does Gabriel sound like? Ooh. And with the trumpet of victory, the trumpet of God. And look what happened. It said that dead in Christ will rise. What? First. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. In the air. So, this is where bodies are going to change. Where bodies are going to change now. Right? They're in the presence of the Lord. When you die, you go with the presence. You're in the presence of God. But then when bodies are going to change, when we're going to put on that immortal body, the house that is built for us, we're going to acquire it. Look what it says. And thus shall we be. Hold on. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one. You know, we need to talk about eternity. We need to talk about the privilege of being saved and the position of being saved and the position of having an eternal body. Amen. We're going to switch this. Now, I need to find one more scripture. Find me a scripture that says, where mortals shall put on immortality. That's my scripture that I'm looking for here now. Mortal shall put on, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's right here somewhere. What is it? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go over there. Verse 15:53. All right, we're gonna back up a little bit. Final victory. Now, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption, meaning these physical bodies, right? It's not speaking about corruption in the sense of doing corrupt things, right? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? Changed. We shall be what?
Changed.
In a moment. Now, it's going to happen quick. All of this stuff is going to like that. When you hear the shout, there would be like rapid transitions happening. When the shout comes and the trumpet of God sound, graves are going to split open. Two going to be grinding. One is going to be left at the mill. Two will be in the bed. One will be left there. One will go. Because the change that we've been waiting on has arrived. Are you with me? The change that we've been waiting on has arrived. Behold, I tell you a what? Mystery. Meaning it is not something that we can fully explain. Because it is supernatural. It is supernatural. It is a mystery of God. But we see it with our spiritual eyes. It is real and it is understood by the Holy Spirit living in us. He gives us revelation and understanding to see the things that are eternal that are yet to come. Are you with me? Are you tracking? Good. Mystery. Where did mystery go? Did it fly? Okay, yes. We shall not all, meaning all of us will not die. There will be people that will be alive. It may not be us. Might be people later. And it might be us. You never know. The Bible says, no man know the time nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. But we all shall be changed. If you sleep or you're awake, you're going to be changed. In a moment, in that twinkling of an eye, meaning the moment you go like that, it's gone. It didn't say a blink. Sometimes, you know, your eye just do a little half quick thing like. You know your eye blink and something. But like, you know, like a little, not even a full blink. In a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. We shall be changed. For this corruptible body will put on incorruption. Meaning you're putting on that house that God has built for you. And anything that God has built for you is beautiful. It is pure. It is, oh my God, it is so wonderful. And there is no touch of sin. There is no touch of sin. That's what makes it incorruptible. These bodies were corrupted by sin. Sin touched the human race. When you get born again, your spirit man is pure. But the body is still susceptible to sin. All right? Good. For the corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. Right? So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Now, look at this. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, because there'll be no more dying. That period would have come to an end. And then we're going to say, oh, death, where is your sting? Right now, death has a sting. Right now, when someone dies, you feel it to your core. And you're going to say, oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, Hades, where? That's where the rich man was. He was in Hades. Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But 57 said, but thanks be to God who gives us what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Now, why are we going to be steadfast? Because the promise that is yet to come is great. Yes. Amen. The victory that is ahead is great. So we say now, therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. Because you have a building with God. Be steadfast. Because corruptible, what is common, what has been touched by sin, is going to become incorruptible. What is mortal shall put on immortality, meaning you're not going to die ever again. Amen? Amen? So what? Now, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what?
The word of the Lord.
Did it say in the word? Always abounding in the what?
The word of the Lord.
Who is going to do the work of the Lord? Right? You and I. We have to, because of the great hope that we have, we have to now remain in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that our labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. Can you get the amplified version of that scripture for me? We're talking about eternity. And I just want you to just digest this scripture quickly. It says, now, no, go back to the last verse, amplified. All right. Therefore, my beloved brethren, brothers and sisters, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always what? Excelling. Always doing better. Are you with me?
Amen.
Always doing better. Excelling. Growing in the work of the Lord. Are you with me, church? We're not to draw back. We're not to relent. We're not to say, oh man, oh, I already talked to 5 people about Jesus this week, so that's enough. 1 per day, work day, 1 per day, a weekend, I got to rest. No. Always excelling, testifying, telling somebody, embracing others. Always excelling. The church should always be excelling. Why? Because our hope is eternal. If we draw back, the people that have the hope, the people that know God, the people that are filled with the Spirit, that have the guarantee of eternal things, what's going to happen to the earth? What's going to happen to the people in our communities? You know, let me tell you this. When the Cold War ended in 1989, we declared victory. Declared victory. The Berlin Wall fell, for those who know your history. Russia lost the fight. But do you know, since then, we've built great cities, beautiful buildings, but the quality of life has gone down. The quality of our communities have gone down. There's more drugs everywhere. People don't value each other anymore like they used to. People don't care about their senior parents anymore. It's all about me, myself, and I. How much more can I get? How much more can I get? Because we are living contrary to this word. And we stop excelling in the work of God. We stop excelling in the work of, and we seek to excel financially. And we desire financial progress. But how many families are instilling in their children, you must excel in the work of the Lord? Because what you're going to build and what you're going to make are temporary houses. But what God has for you is an eternal house. So when we are witnessing, we're telling people about eternity. And tonight I hope that we have a better understanding of eternity so that we can now speak about eternity with greater confidence. So give me back that scripture. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and doing more than is what? Doing more than is needed. Being continually aware that your labor, even to this point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. You see that? Is never without purpose. Where's the name? Right. In the Lord, your labor in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is meaning whatever you do for God has a great purpose. Amen? Amen? We end with that. Why? Because we are eternal people. We are eternity people. Everything else that is sold in the world will fail, will disintegrate. But our salvation is an eternal salvation. Why did Jesus come? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting and eternal life. Tonight, we have eternal life. We're not going to mourn like the world mourns. We can't. Because we have an eternal hope. Amen? Praise God. Did we get something tonight?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to do something. Any questions? We can try to answer questions. If anyone has a question, something that is not clear to you about eternity. All right. You're going once. You're going twice. Goodbye. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's stand and we'll close. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Somebody just thank God for eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We labor because this thing is eternal. We joy because it's eternal. We rejoice because we're in eternal life. My God, we already have everlasting life. But God, you're preparing a body for us that is eternal. That is beautiful. That sin cannot touch, My God. The futility of sin will not be able to touch what you have created for us. We're going to look at the grave and we're going to look at death. And we're going to say, oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? Because all of you got locked up in the life of Christ. My God. We're delivered from sin, we're delivered from death, and we're delivered from hell. And we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Ah, we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the assurance of eternal life. Thank you that you have given us your spirit as a guarantee. So we can be confident. We can be confident tonight. We can be confident. And we're grateful for all that you have done. Thank you for your people. Oh, Holy Spirit, let your word find root in their hearts. Give us the grace to meditate, to go over and over and over your word. Go over it and chew on the word. And become united with your word. As we remain in your work and we excel in your work, in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise, give you all the thanks, and all the honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah.